We're back with this year's edition of the Ladies Special right here on Made in India. It's an annual series we do every March to mark Women's Day by celebrating the talented women of India's indie music scene. Our theme this year is Lady Collabs, and on this episode, I have an interesting one for you. It's sister act, the Dasgupta Sisters, made up of Pragya and Paroma Dasgupta, who bring together the genres of electronica, jazz, and funk to Indian classical stylings. I'm featuring two songs from their self-titled EP, which they created with composer Sandeep Chautha and a few international musicians thrown in the mix. We talk about the EP being a tribute to their mother, growing up surrounded by renowned musicians, and what it's like making music with your sibling. First up, here's their song, Sacred Love, a rendition of Raag Desh. Welcome, Pragya and Paroma, to Made in India.
Thank you so much, May. It's really a pleasure talking to you and being here on your platform.
Yay. I'm super glad. So can you tell me a little bit about Sacred Love, the song, what it's about?
Sacred Love, it's based on Raag Desh. is a bandish, classical bandish, Chota Khayal, which I learned from my mom. And this album is a tribute to my mom. So both of us, we have learned classical music and everything from our mom only. So Sandeep came up with this idea. So why not give a tribute to your mom? Let's do an EP. These, you know, classical songs, they are so wonderful, but they don't reach out to people because they are so exclusive. What he did is he got some musicians from the West and they collaborated and he produced the album. So Sacred Love talks about, you know, divine love, of course. The name is Karma Kara DJ. It's again praising the Lord. So that's why it is named as Sacred Love.
So as you just mentioned, this particular record is actually a tribute to your mother. And your mother, from whatever I've done my deep dive research on, was Manushri Dasgupta. She was a renowned Hindustani classical singer from Kolkata. And this, to me, is fascinating because that basically means your music was such a huge part of your life. You must have been surrounded by musicians all the time in your house, right?
Absolutely. So I remember when we were growing up, we always had tabla players in-house who would practice with us, you know. So my dad, though he was a business person, he supported my mom in a lot of ways, you know, every possible way. So the environment at our place was always, you know, we had seen so many renowned, not only renowned legends, Amne Samne, like Bismillah Khan Sahab, then Hari Prasad Chaurasia, all these people. So, you know, it's really, when I look back now, I think I was so lucky to be a part of this kind of a system. Like I was born as Manjushri Dasgupta's daughter. So I really feel really great that way.
Oh my God, that's incredible. I can only imagine how privileged it must be to be able to firstly have your mom be this incredible singer. Did you sing a lot with your mother as well, like growing up?
I started singing for All India Radio Kolkata when I was in fourth standard. But then, you know, I come from a Bengali setup. So where education is more important. Everybody had to say, like, first complete your education, then anything else. So we used to, of course, go with our mom to the concerts like Doverlin Music Conference, Sadarang Music Conference. She used to perform and we were little kids. So we used to go and watch it. Pura raat raat bhar wo hota tha generally, you know. So entire night, whole night classical music being performed. And that's really divine, you know. Now, like that time, I did not understand so much. But still, we would be awake, wide awake, listening to at 5 a.m. in the morning, Bismillah Khan Sahab playing. So, of course, music was there. At the same time, education was also very, very important.
So, I'm kind of curious, did you have a chance to sing with your mother, like, you know, at home and practice?
She was a teacher also. So, every day she would teach us, okay, this is how the riyaz would happen, this. But if you are talking about any album together, yeah, we have one album, which my mom was also a singer-songwriter. So, she could write in Bengali and compose. So when I was in 10th standard, we released an album which was completely composed and written by her. So rather, we had two albums. My mom was also a professor in Sanskrit in a college. So her knowledge about Sanskrit was like intense. So we did an album where we, you know, put all the stotras together. And it was called Jago Devi Jago. So even that had original composition. But of course, we used to always sing together because she would teach us. So that we are.
So what was something that you learned from her that you kind of still cherish till now?
So for my pitching, my mom taught me one technique. So it would be like put your head down and then do the practice. So cut to once, I had one uncle at his place. He was a very renowned organizer. And at his place, all these Ghulam Ali Khan Sahab, Jagjit Singh Ji, and everyone would come. You know, because he was the only organizer in Bengal who would, you know, arrange for these kind of shows. So one day I was singing in front of Jagjit Singh Ji. So he was telling me, you know, that if you have to get your pitch perfect, you have to do this gung, you know, it should come from the nose. So what my mom taught and what he was teaching was in the same lines. So, you know, for the tempo thing, how one should make your tempo ekdam perfect. So what are the things that you should do? So all these things, everything I cherish, and I miss so much because now I need it most, but I don't have her right now. So that's the thing, you know.
So I'm curious. Firstly, I have to ask you, who's the older sister? Who's the younger sister?
You want the chronological age or the mental age?
Fight begins now.
So chronologically, of course, I am the elder one. But if you go by the mental age, then she's the elder
one. She's not.
So when you say she, Pragya, you're the older sibling.
Yeah.
And Paroma is younger. But technically, Paroma's the more mature one.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're bang on.
I love it. But that, I think that's a kind of like a balance, right? Have the two of you always kind of felt like you both wanted to make music together, or have you always felt quite independent of each other?
We've been independent mostly. So we have our individual tracks as well. We also do a lot of other things together. We are business partners. We have formed a company where we are working together. But the only thing with us is we work a lot together, but we fight so much that at one point people say, why do you guys even live together? You should just stay apart. We have such massive, I mean, the fights are just, like when we were kids, I'll tell you this, it's very funny. We used to have hatapai, like we used to fight. She would catch me by my hair. You know, she would just fling something at me. And once it happened that my mother had to come with a chhadi, with a stick to stop us. Because she kept saying, bas karo, like you guys just stop. But we just wouldn't listen. So she had to stop us with her chhadi. You either stop, I'm going to beat you up. So it's like that.
And the beauty of all of this is that you both came together to pay tribute to her with your EP, which I think is kind of poetic and very beautiful. I think this is really telling of siblings that work with each other, because I work with my brother and we both work in a company like in Made in India together. And I think it is a real test, I think, of a sibling relationship to be able to work together. But it's not just working together, it's also working in a creative field like music, because there is no right answer. Nothing, everything is very subjective. So when you are sort of balancing, making something that is a creative project, and especially when it's music, when you guys, like you said, you do fight, you do disagree. What happens then with the two of you? Like, what are the kind of things you disagree about? And then how do you sort of get over it?
So creative calls, basically she takes, because I
always boss for creative calls.
Yeah. Actually,
well done.
And the business calls and all, I generally take, because you know, even I come from a corporate background. I have been working with radio, with television for quite some time. I was a radio jockey. I was with television. I was handling the music. So all these, you know, the business aspect I deal with, and she is very good with the creative.
But this is actually good that you created this demarcation, so that like when it actually comes down to the decision making, I always think that especially in these kind of relationships, there's a give and take. There's one person where you're like, okay, you make the decision and I'm not going to fight you on that unless it's like really bad. I think when you know, sometimes you have this way you can read each other's minds. Like sometimes I just can look at my brother and he'll just like know what I'm thinking, or vice versa. I'm sure like the
exactly.
two of you also.
Yeah. That chemistry actually, and it works, you know, because even when we go for some meeting, some pitch or something. So the way she looks at me, I understand, okay, I'm going somewhere wrong somewhere. So I'll be like, okay.
And like having a sibling, it's like that, you know, you can look at each other and be like, so something like
exactly. You understand it so well. And the best part about siblings is there is no offending the other person, right? Like, you can be upset with me for a while, but that's about it. Like, if it's an outsider, you have to be careful about whether you're offending the person. So with siblings, you'd rather offend. You're like, you'll choose the harshest of language to tell your brother or your sister because you want to hurt them at that point. But you also know that you can always undo this. Whereas with an outsider, you can't do that.
That is absolutely.
It's so interesting you put it. You'd be like, I'm okay with offending my sibling. And it's true, though. I mean, it sounds like a really odd way of putting it, but I absolutely understand where you're coming from, because you're just used to being unbelievably honest all the time. So there's no barrier. There's nothing. And there's no offense because, I mean, you reached a stage where how can I get offended now by this? It's so nothing. And there was something interesting that you talked about, and I'm curious about this, which is that I think you very candidly have talked about the fact that there are not enough opportunities, because I think the two of you do have experience with regards to like playback singing and that kind of work. And you have talked about there being not enough opportunities for songs for female singers in Bollywood and the film industry, and that it is quite male dominated, and that you've wanted to have actresses maybe speak out, or, you know, for singers or labels to do more. Do you think not enough is being done, or there are not enough opportunities, and why do you think that is?
I do think somewhere, you know, women also are responsible for it, because we are just ready to accept whatever comes our way instead of just putting our foot down and claiming or demanding things. So in our world, even in Bollywood, I see the male singers hold their ground. They're like, I will charge this much, or I will do this. This is where you have to book my recording. They are very specific about their demands. Women are like, oh, you're giving me a song, that's more than enough. They don't put it in these words. But for some reason, I see that's the attitude.
This thing of gratefulness, as though they're grateful for the opportunity rather than like, well, you've picked me because I'm good.
If you go just 20 years back, there was no such system as a woman being just a part of a song in just a one line, you know, she's just the presence in the song. Right now, a woman's contribution to a song is, oh, she's just a presence. You know, there has to be some female presence in the song. Back in the day, if there were three antaras are verses in the music, so it would be equally divided, one and one duet. But now the whole song would be male.
Two lines,
somebody comes, sings, and just floats away. And then we're just happy to accept that.
Got it. Can I ask, why do you think that's changed?
I feel that we are not much demanding. See, it has been a patriarchal system, always. And then they are criticized for being old, for being too skinny, too fat, body shaming. All kinds of shaming are for women. Whereas all that matters for a male singer is how you sing.
Honestly, I think that's across media in general. I think it really doesn't matter if you're a woman in the limelight, you are absolutely judged for the way you look.
Yes, and we also don't stand by each other. That's one thing, you know. Like, I think it's not our fault. We've been programmed this way for generations. Mm-hmm. And maybe we are the first generation who are understanding or realizing that we've been played for so many centuries. Now we're taking a stand. Maybe in 20 years or 30 years, you'll see there's a drastic difference.
I agree with you that there's a huge difference between a generation above us and above them, because I think we've lived through a digital age, which I think has led to some level of isolation. And I think in some level, a lot of us, not that we don't know how to get together, but I just don't think we understand each other's problems as well, or the nuance of those problems. So I feel like now is a time where people are speaking out because of the internet and the opportunity to be able to say how you feel out into the open. But I agree with you that I feel like there needs to be more sort of coming together of people and working together.
You know what I feel is, we as women, we must have this bro code, which men have. Nothing bro, it's all fine. That bro code has to be, you know, implemented by women.
Oh my God.
Only then it'll be.
And it is. And we're talking about, you know, opportunity. I recently had a friend of mine who sent me a post of a really well-known Kathak dancer. Like, you know, the Me Too campaign in the classical space has also been like, there's so much suppression of like women's voices. There's so much silencing that's happening. The moment you start telling your story, the moment that other women know what happened to you, there is a sense of camaraderie. There is this sense of like, are you okay? What happened? And just that, right? Like a lot of people just don't say anything because they're constantly afraid. This whole thing of not speaking up when opportunities are there or not being able to say anything is because women are afraid they're going to lose a chance. Oh, if I say anything, the next time they won't take me. And like, that's the scary thing. And this is not just, at least, you know, women who are more established, it's also about helping younger women. I do think there needs to be so much more communication, even though we're in an age where communication is like supreme. But I think there's not enough being said or not enough being talked about or not enough opportunities that are being given. So I understand where it comes. It's interesting to understand it from, you know, a different industry and a different part of the industry. So to go back to your EP, as you had mentioned before, you've basically picked different rags, and I'm assuming these are quite traditional rags, right, that you've picked. And is there any significance for why you've picked these four rags for your EP? Any connection to your mother, since it was a tribute to her?
All of them. I think one of them was rag Tilam. Tilam was one of the first rags I learned from her. It was one of the first bandishes that I learned from her. And then Chayanat, that's the rag. And I heard my mother sing it, and I used to admire, you know, I used to just love listening to her. And, you know, I must confess now that as a child, I used to find it a little boring. Like, you know, where I would listen to a Michael Jackson or a Madonna or, you know, somebody.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's this one recital going on for 3 hours. And I'm just staring. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's some great artist just playing something.
Yeah.
As a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, you're like, why am I here? When will I go home? It's like that. But looking back, I think that is a privilege that I have been exposed to, which a lot of people would trade anything for, you know. Listening to these greats, you can't even buy their tickets and attend their concerts. And as a like a default, I could attend those. Hmm. I realize the value of it now. So much more.
And they giving you tips also. We remember once Bismillah Khan Sahab telling us, like giving us a small tip, ke agar 40 minute na bhi ho, every day you should at least do your riyaz for 10 minutes. Kyunki gaadi har roz chalni chahiye. So what he said is,
that's like, a good parallel. I like that.
Instead of doing 40 minutes one day and then giving a gap of 7 days, you do 10 minutes every day. That will benefit you more than if you do 4 hours in a day. It's like more like, you know, if you scientifically see it, muscle memory. Your system is getting the thing. We were so young that we couldn't even understand what he meant by that. Bismillah Khan Sahab, he's not even a legend. He's God, literally. He's a Shehnai player, Ustad Bismillah Khan. And getting these little, see, they are a university in
themselves. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like, you go to a library, you read 10 books, and you talk to somebody who has knowledge for 10 minutes. It's,
you learn more.
You know, it's like they have done all the
real experience. Yeah.
And then in that sense, I think that you also feel like you absorb things better when someone's sort of teaching it to you.
First-hand experiences when you hear, yes. And from such legendary people. So naturally, it is,
yes.
So, and again, because this was a tribute to your mother, was it quite emotional, sort of, when you were putting it together? Did you ever have any moments where you're like, I really miss her?
See, we miss her every day.
Yeah.
And now that she's not there anymore with us, see, honestly, I would say both of us are guilty of this. When it's your mother or when it's somebody in the family and they want to teach you, you take it for granted. So, like, she was always the singer in the family. She would do her riyaz every day. And I was one of those who just did what I wanted to. Like, if I wanted to sing, I would sing. If I didn't want to sing, I'd come and check the audience. If somebody said, ki,
बेटा एक गाना सुना दो, होता है ना. सो आई लाइक नो आई डोंट लाइक दीस पीपल, नो आई कांट सिंग नाउ. सो आई जस्ट वॉक ऑफ. आई वाज वन ऑफ दोस वेरी moody people like that. So when mom used to teach us, if it's a teacher who you pay and you go and do a 1 hour class in a week or something, you just listen to them like they are your teachers. But when it's your mother and you're like, take it for granted, please don't tell me all this, I'm not in a mood to do this. So we both of us have done that, and we could have learned so much
more. We regret that now,
but we haven't, you know, because whenever we had a question, this encyclopedia was always at home. So we didn't need to, mom, what is this now? Okay. So now that person is not there to consult. So now I'm like, oh my God, we should have learned all that, you know. It's such a waste. You know, unfortunately, when you realize it, it's kind of late.
No, fair enough. Your tribute to her is beautiful. And I have to admit, I heard obviously the whole EP, and the last song that we'd be playing on this episode is my favorite. It's called Love in These Times. I love that song. It is so good. So can you tell me a little bit about Love in These Times?
So it is, again, it's a chota khayal. It's called Ja Ja Re Apne Mandir Ba. See, most of these tumris and, you know, traditional bandishes, kind of a conversation between Radha and Krishna, that kind of a thing. So really, there's no meaning to it as such. It's just that Radhika is kind of complaining to Krishna, ki, you know, you go back to your mandir. Why are you, you know, my... in-laws will hear me, and you know, it just talks about all that, you know, how you come and trouble me and I don't want you to come. But this song I really love because I love how it's very percussive, you know, it's got that rhythmic pattern also, and
I think that's why I liked it so much. I love, like, yes, I love a good rhythm section, you know, good bass and beat. So like, yeah, it's really
and cool. The most special part about this song, special thing about this song is, see, we have recorded this album in peak corona time, you know. So everybody was at home that time. So we were in Bombay, Sandeep Chatta was in Bangalore, and the musicians, some of them in the UK, some in the US. And even 2 years back, we couldn't imagine such a collab so smoothly. But now it is possible. And the best thing what I find about this album is we are from India and we are doing what we've known since childhood, and people who are jamming to it have no idea about this genre, about the ragas, you know. So what they're bringing to the song is their interpretation of it, no bias whatsoever, because they've never heard this before. And that East meets West, what has happened in this album, is the highlight of
pure and so different.
Yeah, because you felt like it was a true collaboration, that they're coming with something fresh and new to this, that they're not just trying to like do what they're
from
told.
From various parts of the world. So yeah. That's like so beautiful.
I love it.
You know, music is what is uniting us in this.
Of course.
Truly.
So yeah, Love in These Times is one of my favorite. And I also love the title, Love in These Times, because really it's... for any of my friends who are currently single, it is tough.
True that.
So that's the last song. Are you guys working on anything, you know, between the two of you? Are you planning to release more music?
Yes, we have been working on some stuff. Most of the times we are working on each other's work space also. Like if she is doing something, I'm always, you know, suggesting things.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So that we keep doing.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. So great to have you guys.
Yeah.
That was Love in These Times, a rendition of Raag Bimpalasi by the Dasgupta sisters. Oh, that's my favorite. Thanks so much, Pragya and Paroma, for being on the show and sharing your music with us. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review us on wherever you're listening to this. And of course, make a visit to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram handles at Made in India, that's M-A-E-D. Next week, we wrap up our annual Lady Special with another exciting Lady collab. So stay tuned.